already here. Thank you, thank you. It's good to see you all. Wow, thank you, choir. That was wonderful. Thank you, Diane. Thank you for all the blessings that come our way. Wow, all the blessings that come our way. My message this morning from the Path with Heart is generosity, codependence, and fearless compassion. And it's kind of interesting that the two bookends are really positive, and the thing in the middle is something we want to avoid. So it's we want generosity. We want to come from a place of generosity, of the givingness of spirit, as Ernest Holmes would call it, that thing that love is that must give itself away. Generosity. That thing which is the opposite of stinginess or pettiness. And that reminds me of a story of a guy who never married. He had no family. And he decided to take it all with him. So he was on his deathbed, and he had everything liquidated, and $1,000 bills, and he had called his three best friends. He said, "Now, I'm entrusting you to do this for me. This is my request. I want to take this with me. So I'm giving each of you a sack of money, and I want you to bring it to the funeral, place it in the casket, and I want to be buried with this money." So the day of the funeral, they came in, and the three gentlemen went ceremoniously to the casket with this bag, each one with the bag of money. And later, at the wake, they were talking to each other, and the first one said, "You know, I'm feeling a little bad. I took a $1,000 bill out because I figured, what's he going to do with all of it? And he'll never miss $1,000 and all that money." And the other one said, "You know what? I took half of it out, and I packed the rest with paper." And the third one said, "You guys, what a terrible thing to do. I gave him a check for all of it." Stinginess, the opposite of generosity. Generosity of spirit. Generosity is when we know that the source is within us and we can simply give from the awareness of abundance, from the awareness of wholeness, of fullness, and just give. One day in class, someone, and I was thinking about her, and she's here today, but I won't embarrass her because I don't want her to not do it again, but someone admired a piece of jewelry this woman had on. And she said, "Here." And it was not it wasn't a costume piece. It was a beautiful piece of jewelry. And she not only gave the necklace, but she also gave the matching either bracelet or earrings, I've forgotten which. Act of generosity and spontaneity, of knowing that the universe supplies, there's always more than enough. There's always more than enough, the place of giving. So generosity, according to Jack Kornfield, every spiritual path is marked by generosity. And it's marked by generosity because the generosity means that I can let go of my good, I can let go and let God give more, give back, replace and replenish. That there's no fear-based being in that principle. Now, I cannot, this little thing seems to not even be alive this morning. Oh, it's alive now. Well, that's because, thank you, Mary. So, about generosity, and could we just go to the next slide, please? So, the definition, this is Webster's dictionary.com definition, readiness or liberality in giving, the freedom from meanness or smallness of mind or character. And lastly, the largeness or fullness, amplitude. It's wonderful. Okay, so, and then the next one. The synonyms of generosity, they're going to come up as you. Munificence, isn't that a great word? Munificence, I'm munificent. And bountifulness, I love this one. Bountifulness, it feels like Thanksgiving. And nobleness, and magnanimity. So when we're magnanimous, wow, being generous. And the next slide, please. Not stingy or petty. Next slide. Now, he says the practice of letting go, it opens our body, heart, and spirit when we're generous. And if you think about it, there's a warmth when we really feel in the flow and we can give from the fullness. The next slide, please. He says there are three levels of giving, and I haven't read this before. It's not Science of Mind. Ernest Holmes doesn't say this, but it's still brilliant. And he says the first level of giving is tentative giving, where you give a little, and most of that giving, although it's good to give something, is fear-based. It comes from, I don't think there's going to be enough, so I only give a little, and then you know what happens when you give with fear. More is taken from you. Do not give if you can't give with love. If you can't give with that open heart and generosity, keep it. Many years ago over at the old church, we had a gospel singer. Remember, she came just one time. She was singing. Fabulous Baptist woman. She said, and the talk was on tithing. She said, well, I know for sure that if you can't tithe, you might as well just keep it because God's not going to want your puniness anyway. Thank you for the sermon. Anyway, the next thing that Jack Kornfield says is brotherly or sisterly giving. And this kind of giving is when you would, the kind of giving that you would give to your brother or sister, the one that you dearly love, and that they would give back to you. So it's an equal kind of shared giving. The kind of giving that's like, of course, you need food, here's food. You need clothing, here's clothing. You need $1,000, sure, you're my sister, of course. I'm going to help you. So it's that kind of giving where it's reciprocal. So you might be the giver this time, but you might be the receiver next time. And then, he says, the highest kind of giving is royal giving. And he says that royal giving is when you see everyone, you're happy for everyone's blessings. You're happy, you give to anyone and everyone, and you're happy for them to be blessed by whatever you're giving. So that kind of real generosity is what we're aiming at as spiritual beings, to be comfortable giving our time, our talent, or our treasure, no matter what it is, to give that way. This is not to say that you give foolishly. It is not to say that you give, because it's gone to the next one. It's not to say that you give because you're expected to give. You know, when Edwin Gaines teaches tithing, and I love that woman, I think she's just fabulous, and I think she does a great job of teaching it. But when she teaches it, and she tells her story, she's demanding of spirit. She's demanding of principle. Okay, big fella, I want you to satisfy me, get that law in work, and get that money. I'm demanding my good now. And that actually is a very powerful way to be, but it sets up an expectation of you're only giving to get. And when you're doing that, you're in this. You're in an unhealthy relationship, a codependent relationship, a relationship that says, okay, I'm going to give my whatever, my pledge, my 10% or whatever it is, because I'm expecting to get back. And you know, it's holiday times are fast approaching. Are we going through the holidays with that consciousness? I'm going to give, but I'm expecting to receive from the people I give to. Would it be okay to just give? Would it be okay to just receive? To just receive without any expectations. Here's what happens with codependence. We do things based on our attachment to pleasing people, to having people like us, to having people approve of us, and it's very unhealthy. the people who are in recovery programs can probably speak well for this, because it's that codependence in addiction often happens when one person is addicted to drugs or alcohol and the spouse is addicted to pleasing them and keeping them safe. And so it's a very unhealthy relationship. If you know what I mean, when, for instance, someone is using and so they're not in shape to go to work, but the spouse calls and says, my husband, my wife is sick and won't be in today. That's codependence, because it's not allowing the person to be responsible for his or her own choices. And this, only you know. Only you know if your giving is out of codependence. Next slide, please, Mary. So what Cornfield says is the fears and dependence may make us afraid to tell the truth. And any kind of fear, anyway, any kind of fear, you want to uproot it, examine it, love yourself enough to let go of it. And the roots of codependence are low self-esteem, inner wounds, and unworthiness. So this does not sound like someone that's practicing the principles of science of mind. We want to move into high self-esteem, a feeling of real self-worth, which is not the same as entitlement. Real self-worth says, I am made in the image and likeness of the One, and so I am worthy of my good. I'm worthy of my good. Next slide, please. Okay. So then he says, this part, fearless compassion. Fearless compassion. Can you be so compassionate in all of your practices that you can move into compassion in all situations? Now, he gives an example which I thought was just exquisite. He gives an example of a childless couple that really wanted a child. So they weren't able to create one biologically, so they decided to adopt. And they discussed it and decided that they would adopt a child that was a hard to place, a child from a third world country. And so they got a two-month-old little boy from India. And they quickly became evident that this child not only came from poverty and lack, but was blind and had other health challenges, had cerebral palsy. They wouldn't die from they were so grateful for this child. And of course, they learned sign language, taught him sign language, got a little tiny wheelchair for him. And then they realized he didn't have peers. He didn't have friends like him. So they called back to India for another baby who also was handicapped in the same way he was. Now that's fearless compassion. That's fearless compassion. Compassion for that child so great that said not our needs as parents. Another baby with special needs to look after might not be the easiest thing, but the child's needs. I was really moved by that story. It moved me deeply. And then in our world, in Paris the other night, we had terrorists come in and shoot over 100 people, killing and terrorizing. And the first thing, my heart went out to the relatives of those victims, to the victims themselves. And then the harder practice, to go out to the terrorists themselves. To have such fearless compassion that we can see that every single human being, even the ones that are committing atrocities, are sentient beings, have intrinsic worth because they're beings, they're human beings, spiritual beings. I want to share with you, our spiritual leader wrote a wonderful letter. I want to share with you his letter to all of us. So this is the spiritual leader of Centers for Spiritual Living, Dr. Ken Gordon. And here's what he says. This is a statement by him on the Paris terrorist attacks. First, he quotes Dr. Ernest Holmes. He says, "Cease weeping over the mistakes of yesterday and steadfastly holding the face of the great and divine reality, walk in that light wherein there is no darkness." And then Ken goes on to say, with this magnificent quote, Dr. Ernest Holmes in the Science of Mind philosophy calls us to rise above our past and to envision a future that is filled with infinite possibility. As we mourn the dead, once again, this time in Paris, we are pitched into sadness and even a sense of defeat. Humanity is at war with one another, and we are hard-pressed to see a way out. Yet, we are called to do just that. We begin by honoring those who perished or were wounded in these attacks and their families, the first responders and all others affected by these horrific acts. Rather than rehash what is usually said at times like this, let me speak to a greater future that is a way forward. Of course we pray, and let us also act. Let me call on everyone in our great organization to be truly of one mind in seeing the possibility of peace on our planet. Let me call upon the ministers and practitioners to reach out to members of other faith traditions and to become spokespersons for peace, justice, and harmony. Let me call upon clergy in all faith traditions to speak out for peace, not to silence the oppressed, but to give them hope. Let me call upon all those who comprise our news media to be attuned to the many efforts to seek harmony in this world and not just to show carnage. Let me call upon political leaders of all stripes to stop the discourse of partisanship and disharmony and to lead forcefully and directly toward a more peaceful planet. Let me call upon those who take up arms against innocence in the name of their cause or deity to see a better way forward and to be open to overtures of peace coming from within and beyond your own culture or faith tradition. Finally, let me offer the services of our organization, the Centers for Spiritual Living, as impartial mediators to work with secular and religious parties anywhere to help bring resolution to differences. Let us each be willing to take the first step forward toward peaceful resolution. Let us be willing to truly listen to the grievances of the other, and to open our hearts to a greater possibility. As our founder, Ernest Holmes, called us to do, let us do what is best for our children and their children. Let us begin right now. It's a beautiful letter. It's a beautiful letter. Just take a moment, put your hand on your heart. We used to sing almost every single Sunday, "Let peace begin, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." Let's just take that one line and say it together. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. It begins with us, folks. It's the only way change happens, with a small group of like-minded people who are passionate about an idea. And peace is an idea whose time has come. And so it is. Diane's going to establish the feeling tone. And then I'm going to pray for peace for all of us. fearless compassion.
Be still and know that you are God. Be still and know that you are. Be still and know that you are God. Be still and know. Believe and know that you are God. Believe and know that you are. Believe and know that you are God. Believe and know. Be still and know that we are one. Be still and know.
In this holy moment of now, we know that we are one with the One, one with Source. We know that that One is infinite intelligence, divine wisdom, and unconditioned and unconditional love. It is radical compassion, extreme generosity, everywhere present. And so what I know for each one here and each being everywhere, truly a world that works for all, a world at peace. And so I start at the place I can start, with me. I put down my arms. I put down the critical voices within, and I let God be God in me as peace now. I no longer resist. I no longer insist on my own way, insist on only one way. But rather, I know that there are many paths to the One. I know for each one here that each one is lifted up, hearts broken open with love and in love to a greater idea, greater ideal, to a greater possibility for all. I know we begin truly where we can. We let each of our acts, and I let each of my acts be those of compassion. No longer do I do things to please other people or to expect any kind of return, but rather I practice fearless compassion for each being, just the way he is or she is, and just the way he isn't or she isn't. Each one, an aspect, an individualization of the One. I see it so clearly for each one here. I see it for all beings everywhere. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Heather. And please welcome the Jewel Tone Choir back up. This next song is a beautiful prayer called Look at the World.